The Lord didn't make the sun until the fourth day.
That is correct.
That first day, well, what do you think it was, 24 hours long?
The Bible says it was a day.
Well, it was no sun. How do you know how long it was?
The Bible says it was a day.
Well, was it a normal day, a literal day, 24-hour day?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I do not think about things I do not think about.
Massive Invasion caught you in the act. That was I do not think about things I do not think about. That was from Inherit the Wind, and that's Spencer Tracy. Notice there are certain areas that you just can't think about. You can't question. Some people are told that God will be very angry if they question. Some people are told, oh, sure, you can question as long as you come up with the already rigged answer. But it's very damaging to adopt a policy of not questioning, of not allowing your mind to see things firsthand, of not trusting your mind. And of course, Spencer Tracy brings that out beautifully in Inherit the Wind. So I highly, highly recommend that film. I thought it was fabulous. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And that means your life matters. You want to enjoy it, embrace it. Think of goals you've always dreamed of. For example, Rick, who called, who said that, you know, he was working in a warehouse and he had kind of settled in that job, but he questioned it. He was so unhappy, and now he's working with kids and he loves it. We need the same type of a solution for the dad that I spoke about just before the break, the dad from the United Kingdom, Frank, who can't wait to get back to work. He works writing. He works 10 hours a day. And Frank, you've got a wife and two kids. Obviously, one of your kids has Down syndrome, which is so, so tragic. But I gave myself an assignment during the break. I told myself, if I were you as the dad, how could I brainstorm new ideas of enjoying my kids? Because if you just settle and do what the wife and the kids do every weekend, and it's boring for all three of you, or maybe not for the kids, but you're bored, so the kids just feel like you're dragging along. They sense that. Your wife senses it. It builds resentment, two-way resentment or all-way resentment. So in that assignment, I said, Ellen, in 1 minute, come up with some ideas. And I thought, well, you love writing. Maybe you could teach your 11-year-old how to write a story, what you do, what started your interest in writing. And show them the joy. Show your 11-year-old the joy of writing. I'm assuming that the Down syndrome child, you know, is limited, and you don't have to have them both sitting there. Do not treat your family as glue. They're all glommed together. Treat your wife separate from your 11-year-old, separate from your Down syndrome child, your 6-year-old. You need to get respite, both you and your wife do, from the Down syndrome child, and your 11-year-old does too. It's a tragic situation, and you've got it for life, but you want to make the best of it, and you need to semi-liberate yourself at times too. All parents need a break from kids, and when you've got a handicapped kid, that goes also. So here are the things I came up with. You could explore a brand new hobby that nobody in the family has tried before. Maybe take your 11-year-old sailing, or your wife sailing, or what I did with my kids. My husband was busy, so I went down to the little airport, and I said, hey, can we rent a plane and just fly over our home? I think it must have cost us $20 way back then. It was very inexpensive. And we got a tour of, we could see where we live from the sky. And my kids were little teeny tykes. We have pictures of them standing on the wheel. I mean, not the wheel, the wing of the plane. You could go to a museum. You could go camping. You could read together. You could give your wife a break and show yourself that you could be a family man without your wife if you do that already. But just start to prime the pump, to come up with ideas to make child rearing interesting. You could even give yourself an assignment, if you write nonfiction books, to write a book such along the lines of one of the ones I loved when my kids were younger, How to Raise a Brighter Child by Joan Beck. Again, you can try to integrate your values, your writing and your kids together in a way that brings a lot deeper, a lot more richness to your own life. So I wish you a lot of success with that. And I hope to hear back from you too. And I mentioned that I had gone to see Crazy for You. That's a Broadway play with Gershwin music, such as I've Got Rhythm and Someone to Watch Over Me. And they can't take that away from me. I love this. I went with my sisters, and I was just on the edge of my seat, thoroughly enjoying it. I had a front row seat. I got the ticket the night before, and I was right the first row with you got the orchestra pit, so I could watch the guy, the conductor with the orchestra. This was such an exhilarating experience to be with my sisters, whom I adore. My son came, and to be with a dear friend of mine and her husband. I was on such a high, and then at the end of the evening, we're about to walk out of the theater. I'm with my sisters and my son, and I burst into tears. Fascinating. So what causes that sort of an emotional response? Well, my sister had the easy solution. She goes, "Is this menopause, Ellen?" Which it isn't. But always with a quick answer. And my son kind of just shook his head and, "Oh no, what's going on now?" And I told them I wasn't sad, but obviously tears are identifying a loss. And so what is the loss? It isn't the present loss because I'm on a high. Partly, I loved as a child the theater. I loved the dancing and the singing, but I was such a shy kid that I would only dance and sing with my door closed when my family was maybe away from the house or where no one could hear me. I was just really shy, so I felt badly for the little me that couldn't have maybe had this as a career. I obviously I'm not shy any longer, but couldn't have done some of those song and dance routines. And the costumes and the beauty. There were two beautiful women. The lead was very pretty, but there was a woman who was in the background, who was just one of the chorus girls, who was striking. And she had a mouth like Julia Roberts, just a warm, warm smile. She was gorgeous to look at. And so partly the sadness was that, oh, if only I knew when I was a child, well, when I was a child, wish I knew what I currently know now about how to lead my life, because I would have had these wonderful dreams open to me. And partly it's because, oh, I wish more of life were like this. I wish everyone could discover in themselves the joy of just feeling I've got rhythm, feeling on top of the world like that. So I pass that along to you. I know that when I introspect, when I feel a powerful emotion like that, I don't let it just go. I sit and I ask myself, okay, Ellen, what caused that very strange response? And then I look for different possibilities. Notice I look back in my past. I look to see if there's anything current. I look to, you want to have that ability for yourself to introspect on your very strong emotions. And of course, in this case, the fact that I was crying meant that it was sadness, and that means loss. I was dealing with a loss. That was the fundamental emotion. Of course, I was also joyous. I mean, all I needed to do was see my sister tap dance her way out of the theater. She caught the bug, and she was so much fun that, just put the smile right back on all of our faces. It was a lot of fun. So I wish you some experiences like that in your life. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And here's a quick email from Mike. "Dear Dr. Kenner, my 3.5-year-old Mallory is a very bright child. She talks to us, her parents, nonstop," so you can picture a little chatterbox. "She, however, doesn't talk to other kids or the teacher in childcare. She doesn't talk to family members. She's a chatterbox with us. She seems to take pride in not responding to people who talk with her. Any suggestions? Thank you, Mike." My kids are curious, and they're curious about the way people respond to them. When she reacted to others, when she interacted with others, what have you observed? Does she pull away, shy away from them? Do you then push her? Oh, go say hi. Don't be afraid, honey. You can do it. If she feels pressure or a duty to talk, she may pull away. In fact, that's one of the things that happened to me as a child. My parents were encouraging me so much to be outgoing that I became shy as a source of pride. That was my independence, not to have to be outgoing. So one solution is don't force her to interact. You want to back off. And then you can see if there's any trauma. Is there anybody in her environment, even at daycare, that she could distrust, or an early distrust of others? I had a fear of dogs because my first experience of dogs was bad. So if that's the case, what you need is an Auntie Debbie in your family. That's my sister, the tap dancer. Someone who's so playful that she starts to want to reach out to that particular stranger, not by force, but just joyously. And I can remember being forced to go kiss an uncle that I didn't like, a fat uncle. And so you want someone like Robin Williams, a goofy person, to try to pull her out of her shell naturally. And maybe you and your wife can do that. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. Coming up, we've got Dr. Barry McCarthy, who's going to be talking about tips to make your romantic relationship more intimate.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Learning how to value yourself is no easy task. It is proper to design your own life. Start by naming what matters most to you. For example, choosing and pursuing your own values, thinking for yourself, speaking up for yourself tactfully, being honest with yourself and with others, setting proper boundaries with family, friends, and associates, going to school to become more qualified to pursue your chosen career, giving your children a good education and moral guidance, yet encouraging them not to obey blindly, but to think for themselves, and learning how to communicate well with your partner in order to grow closer emotionally.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.